Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. I'm supposed to hear ya, but I ain't done much here. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming, girl, about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. Such a difference between us and a million miles. So
and welcome to another episode of Hear No Evil here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your show's host and producer, Darlene Lewis, and tonight our special guest is the one and only realtor extraordinaire, Melissa Thomas Grant. And tonight we'll be discussing building generational wealth. Now, Melissa is also an international performing artist, having been featured on motion picture soundtracks, performed solo as well as with legendary group The Crystals. So tune in right now, 516-418-5562. And tonight we welcome Melissa Thomas Grant. Welcome, Melissa. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for being a part of blogtalkradio.com/hearnoevil and bringing your ingenious skills as a realtor, amongst other things. So before we go any further, we want to know, what is your technique for actually choosing the right home for an individual? Just keep that thought in process when we discuss, you know, when people buy homes. Like, what are the common questions asked by home buyers?
Well, you know what? Before I go into those questions, I definitely have to acknowledge you for one thing, being one of my mentors throughout my life. I want to thank you for always pouring into me and making sure that I was exposed to many, many different things, whether it be from real estate to music, entertainment. And people need to know about you and Future Network Productions. So I just want to say thank you again for inviting me to your show today.
Well, listen, the pleasure is all mine. The pleasure is all mine. I felt like I was being interviewed just now.
I was mentored
waiting
by one of the best.
Thank you so much, and you've done such wonderful things. I must say I'm very proud of you, and you make women of all nationalities look good. You know what I mean? Like, you are the epitome of perfection, queendom, and leadership. So continue doing what you're doing, and also helping individuals that may not be aware of, you know, the possibilities of real estate.
really grateful to God, and I'm just grateful to the many people that have poured into me. And I think that I'm in a place where I just want to pay it forward and share information with others, especially my community.
Wow, that's wonderful, Melissa. Okay, so before we get too mushy, so what are the common questions asked about home buyers?
Well, for one thing, one of the main questions that people ask is, you know, how much can I afford in a home? And one way to determine the maximum mortgage amount, the lenders, they look at your credit history. They look at the available cash for down payments and closing costs, also your income, as well as your existing debt and financial obligations. Sometimes people feel, well, you know, I have a lot of money, I make a lot of money, but if your debt-to-income ratio is upside down, you will not be approved for a mortgage. Another question that comes to mind is people ask, how important is my credit? And your credit is definitely a major factor. Your credit history can affect the amount required for a down payment, the amount of money you can borrow in relation to your income, the interest rate you are offered. So the higher your credit score, the lower your interest rate in most cases, along with your debt-to-income ratio. And what's important that people have to pay attention to is their payment history. They think, oh, I paid the bill. But if you're paying the bills late, that's not a good credit history.
Wow, another, it's like buying a car.
it's the same thing. Another question that people ask is, you know, how much do they need for a down payment? This can be a different answer depending on the individual. For instance, some home buyers may be eligible for down payment assistance, low or no down payment, loans without, but they have to keep in mind that loans without down payments of less than 20% typically require mortgage insurance. And the insurance is not for the buyer. This is for the protection of the bank. So if you are not ready to buy with 20% down, you have to take that into consideration that you will be paying mortgage insurance. And that could, sometimes it could run, depending on the amount of your loan, it could be an additional $100 amount. An additional $100 a month that you're pretty much giving away. So I definitely hope that people save 20% down so that they won't have that. But if not, if that's not their situation, there are other ways to get a mortgage.
Wow, this is some very interesting information. Now, what should people do or not do once they've been approved for a loan?
Oh, boy. This is. I'm so glad you asked that question because some people feel, oh, well, I've been pre-approved. I'm about to buy my house. And one thing that can stop you at closing are things that a lot of buyers get themselves into. Do not, once you are pre-approved for a mortgage, do not apply for new credit of any kind because they are reviewing your financial history all the way up until closing. Do not pay off or dispute any collections or charge-offs. This is why before I even take a potential buyer out, I make sure they speak with my preferred lender to find out how much they can afford. Or we'll do this before they start going out to look for houses. So if there are any errors on their credit report, we take care of that before we are in the mortgage process. For instance, another thing you wouldn't do while you're pre-approved is do not close any credit card accounts. Don't max out or overcharge existing credit cards. Don't spend money you have set aside for closing because you need that money for closing. Some people, oh, I'm going to buy all the furniture I need for my house. Do not buy furniture in the mortgage process. Do not change bank accounts. Do not, I repeat, do not co-sign a loan for anyone. And also do not change jobs. become self-employed or quit your job because you will lose out on your mortgage. I don't care if you are 24 hours before you are about to close. If you change any of those things, you will not be in your house the next day. And another thing that people don't pay attention to is they should not make large deposits without checking with their loan officer, because these are things that they have to investigate and that will also slow up the mortgage process. A few things that you should do is to stay current on your existing accounts, and also while you're in the mortgage process, make sure that whenever a mortgage lender or broker is asking you for documents, get them to them right away, because it's like a red flag. Are they ready? I mean, do they have this information? Do anything that will keep the process calm.
Wow, this is some very interesting information that a lot of people will probably never even think about. And let me ask you a question. Do you find that most young people have very bad credit or no credit?
You know, it depends on the individual. I think what a lot of young people have to prepare for is, like, you know, I guess back in the days we didn't have, you know, technology where it caught everything. Now everything is just a click of a button. You can find out anything. So sometimes people feel that they need to have certain things right now, and that will, I guess, mess up their debt-to-income ratio. But it's not just with young people. It's with their elders as well. You know, people just have to pay attention to what they're buying, and some of these things they can wait for. And take some time to save your money, especially if you really believe you want to buy a home. It's worth it in the end.
Now, what are the types of loans that you can get?
Well, four common types of home loans are the VA loan, the USDA loan, the FHA loan, and the conventional loan. Now, the VA loan gives you up to 100% financing, no down payment required. The minimum credit score is 620. No mortgage insurance is required, and this is available to veterans and active duty service members. And I need to say, thank you, veterans, for your service. There's also the USDA loan. Now, a lot of people get caught up, oh, I want to get 0% down. But you have to be eligible for those programs. With the USDA loan, you get up to 100% financing available to qualified borrowers. Zero down payment options. The minimum credit score is 620. You get a lower monthly mortgage insurance income restriction, and the property must be in an eligible property zone. Like, people feel, oh, I can get a USDA loan, but it has to be in an area where it's zoned in for USDA loans. There are also FHA loans. Now, this is a low down payment of 3.5% available to qualified borrowers. Credit issues and debt-to-income ratio issues are more flexible. Minimum FICO credit score is 580. You get lower interest rates. No reserves required for 1 to 2 unit properties. Now, the conventional loan that most people are approved for, you need as little as 3% down of the purchase price. You can get low rates for borrowers with excellent credit, no limits on your income, area, or occupancy type.
Now, let me ask you another question. What is the benefits of working with a realtor as opposed to trying to find, you know, a home on your own?
You know, I love this question so much because I run into a lot of clients who say things like, well, you know what, I can find a house by myself. I can just look on Zillow, and I can look on Trulia, and I've got this under control. But for one thing, you're going up against the people that don't have a lot of experience, that think they know everything about real estate. You're going up against other realtors who are constantly educating themselves about the market. And then you're going to say that, you know, I have people that say to me, yeah, I know all there is, you know, to know about real estate. And I'm like, well, that's funny, because I'm always in school, you know, trying to make sure that I find out, you know, new information. And you seem to know everything. But I really, really recommend that those that are looking for homes, that they have a realtor in place. Because first of all, expert advice is something that you'll receive from a realtor at no cost, because traditionally realtors are paid by the seller. So this is not a cost that comes from the buyer. So this is a free resource that you're giving up to look online. And there are many times when on Zillow and Trulia that these the information is not up to date. There's also realtors have access to the MLS, which is the multiple listing service, with thousands of houses to choose from, and many of them are not available unless you are working with an agent. An experienced realtor can supply a community and community and industry information, provide guidance in difficult situations, negotiate on your behalf, and help resolve problems. Working with a professional provides you more protection from legal and financial liability. Realtors handle much of the paperwork associated with a purchase of a home, and this is something that they deal with all the time. And so when people say, well, I can handle this by myself, you're just leaving yourself open to more issues. If you use a professional for your legal and financial and health care needs, why would you gamble with one of the biggest investments of your life, like purchasing a home without a realtor? It just doesn't make sense. So if you're sick, you go to a doctor. If you are dealing with your finances, you go to a financial advisor. So if you're buying a house, why wouldn't you go to a realtor who has to study and stay on top of their licenses, finding out about new market trends, and then say you're going to do it on your own, when it's usually a free resource?
Now let's say you're a first-time home buyer, or you're looking to buy a home, and you have, let's say, $15,000. No, I'll say $10,000. Would $10,000 be enough for a down payment?
Well, the thing is, what people have to think, I think there's no such thing as enough. What people have to think about is, I guess, just pretty much like buying a car. If you want a certain car payment, you have to put a certain amount of money down. So some people want to go into buying a house, oh, I'll put zero down. So that means you owe payments divided by, 30 years, over 12 months for that payment. But the more you put down, the lower your payment. There's another thing that people have to keep in mind, keep in mind as well, is, for instance, you'll be paying your principal for the mortgage, the interest, the taxes, and also insurance. And when that payment is all together, that's considered a budget loan. And your taxes change from time to time. The more you can put down on a home, the better. So if you're really, really serious about home buying, sometimes you have to pass on going out to eat sometimes, or going on big vacations, because guess what? Soon you'll be a homeowner. You'll have equity in your own home. In other words, lay back a little bit. So, put some money into a major investment that will be great. And also mortgage loan payments do not change. So if you're renting, the person that you're paying this rent to, they can increase the rent whenever they feel like it, but a mortgage doesn't change. However, your taxes and insurance will change.
Now, why does that change?
Well, it depends on what's happening with the market. Sometimes the property value, it goes higher, it goes higher or lower. with insurance, as well, insurance meaning hazard insurance or home insurance, as your home gets older, it costs more money to if, like, say, for instance, if your house has to be replaced in its entirety, how much would it cost at this time to replace your home? That's why hazard insurance rates go higher.
So you're saying that, so when you're first looking to buy a home, what are the expenses that you will receive or have to be responsible for paying prior to you even buying a home? What are some of the things you have to set your money aside for?
Well, one of the main things that you have to prepare for are closing costs. Some people are able to roll those costs into their loans, or they'll be able to get the seller to pay for those things. But it's usually between 3% and 7% of the full home price. That's the cost for closing costs. There are other, like for instance, at closing, certain things that are prepaid, like taxes, interest, and insurance for future months, that's collected in the first year at your closing. And a lot of loan programs do not allow you to finance your closing costs. So it depends on what kind of mortgage program you have. But there are some programs that allow partial closing costs to be paid by sellers or other sources.
So now let me ask you another question. Do you recommend that when people take out a loan that they also have a certain amount of money saved up, so they're not just depending on the loan amount?
That's always a great thing. I feel like as soon as you get into a mortgage, you should at least have 2 to 3 months of your expenses saved as an emergency fund.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you purchase a home, do you recommend that you rent out certain parts of the home, or is that doable? Are there laws that say that you can or cannot rent out the space, so that will help you pay your mortgage off?
Well, it depends. First of all, it depends on which community you live in.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when you first move into your house and it's a residential home, there's up to 5 years that you should be living in the home before it goes into, like, rental status. I know some people wish to do, like, I mean, I guess it'll work with maybe, like, townhouses or houses that are split. Like, do you mean, like, a townhouse or a condo or something like that, or a duplex or something like that?
Yeah, like, some people have B&B, bread and back breakfasts, or they have the Airbnbs, and, you know, to help them, you know, pay off some of the expenses that they have. Like, is there laws, or can you just do whatever you want to do because it's your home?
Well, it depends. It depends on the state, and also it depends on the area. I mean, some people do that specifically if it's an investment property, but if it is like a residential home, depending on what kind of loan you have, they want you to live in the house for a certain period of time before you start getting into those kind of things.
Now, I hear that sometimes people say, oh, they're bringing the property value down. You know, certain people are bringing the property value down. Can that affect your home when it's time for you to sell?
It can, but people even saying those things are against the law. You know,
really?
There are acts in place that protect us as homeowners, where someone can't say, oh, this particular group, don't go there because, you know, this group lives there or another group lives there. That is against the law for that to even be said.
Oh. No, because sometimes, you know, people don't want a certain type of activity negativity in their neighborhood, or they don't want you to paint your house a certain color, or if you don't
well,
cut
you know
your
what?
Grass.
This you're speaking of an HOA. Now, some people, they have an issue with HOAs. Personally, I do not.
What's an HOA?
What an HOA does is it's a homeowners association, and what it does is it helps to keep your property value. In other words, most of the times the things that you want to do to your home are really not a big idea, a big deal or a problem with the HOA. What an HOA does is, you know, they're making sure that people are putting their trash cans away, that they're not having big objects in the driveway, or say, for instance, they won't allow your neighbor to paint their house Pepto-Bismol paint. You know, just to keep the, you know, when you think of it that way, you know, because first of all, HOAs are very strong, but most of the things that they're trying to keep in place are really kind of common sense, but sometimes common sense is not so common. And, you know, you put these things in place, so I guess neighbors won't have to tell, hey, you need, don't do this or don't do that. They'll have an HOA with certain guidelines where they'll say, you know, okay, no, you cannot change the color of your house to Pepto-Bismol pink. It won't be a good look, basically. Or, no, you can't skin a deer in your front yard. I mean, come on. But sometimes we have to put these guidelines in place so that the sense that is not so common becomes common, if that makes sense.
So now I understand that you are based out of Austin, Texas. What's the benefits of purchasing real estate in or working with a realtor in another state than where your property is sold? What's the benefits of that?
Well, the benefit of that is, okay, I am licensed in the state of Texas to sell real estate, but I am a nationwide referral agent. And I've done a lot of and I still do a lot of traveling around the country, around the world, so I make a lot of different contacts. And some people will come to me, hey, you know, I'm living in New York, which is my hometown. I'm looking for a realtor. Because of the contacts I have in place, I can make a phone call and say, hey, you know, Mary in Austin needs a realtor in New York. Hey, you know, Mark, or, you know, can you both make a connection? And I can make that referral connection all over the country.
Wow.
In other words, I take away the footwork for them, and I line up a great realtor for them. So instead of looking around, oh, you know, I need a good realtor, I'm not sure where to look, let me do the work for you. And by the way, let me just clarify. Again, my website is melissagrant.realtor, that's M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Grant, G-R-A-N-T. Realtor. I can be reached via email at realtormelissagrant@gmail.com. My telephone number is 737-808-4203. Again, that's 737-808-4203. And anyone who has a question, they can feel free to call me. And some people will say, well, I think my question is silly. But for me, the silliest question is the one you don't ask.
Well, thank you so much for giving the listening audience and all of your future home buyer customers an up-close and personal class on how to go about building wealth and purchasing a home. I want to thank you for coming on Blog Talk Radio, and we look forward to referring individuals to you. And once again, This was Melissa Thomas Grant, specializing in buying, selling, leasing homes, new home constructions, property management, investment properties, land purchases, first-time home buyers, veterans, and active duty military members, apartment locator. Visit her site and register to learn more about present properties at melissagrant.realtor. Thank you once again.
Also, I must add,
I am
an advocate for seniors because a lot of times they don't have anyone to back them up. But if you call me, I'll be there for you.
And repeat your phone number one more time.
My telephone number is 737-808-4203. 737-808-4203.
Thank you so much. And we'll be right back.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis.
You're welcome. Thank you. Hold on. That was a fantastic lesson learned, and we want to thank the Brownstone, located at 24 East 124th Street, New York, New York. The Brownstone Woman, 212-996-7980. Well, today we have a phenomenal singer, actress, writer, musician, and all-around Renaissance woman who goes by the name of Mel Soul Tree. And we want to thank you. And we, Melissa Thomas Grant, the realtor, you can reach her on her website if you are a home. If you're interested in purchasing a home, if you want to learn about home insurance, if you want to learn about taxes, you can learn from the best. Because a lot of people are out here, and they're not really, really paying attention. They're getting over their heads. Their homes are being foreclosed. So we don't want that to happen, guys. But let's move on to the music part. We want to welcome Mel Soul Tree. Mel Soul Tree, how are you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored and grateful to be here, Miss Darlene Lewis.
Now, we have a caller holding on. Caller from a 2400 area code. Welcome to Hear No Evil.
Thank you very much.
Hi, and who are you and what's your name?
Excuse me, ma'am. My name is Hassan Lewis.
Well, welcome, Hassan Lewis.
Thank
how
you
doing?
I'm fine, Ms. Lewis. I'm glad to be here.
So, Mel Soul Tree, tell our listening audience a little bit about you. We know you are an icon in the industry, but let's take people back to the beginning. How did you become involved with entertainment? Like, what gave you that?
Wow, this is, you know what, you had a lot to do with this. I've been in the industry since I was a teen. One of my first major, commercial successes was working on the New Jack City soundtrack on the recording Lyrics to the Rhythm that was produced by the legendary Grandmaster Flash. Then for many years I was touring throughout. I was also in the group Legal Tender that was on Low Key Records. I toured for many years throughout South America and Europe. And Asia with a lot of gospel groups, the Great Voices of Gospel, the Glory Gospel Singers under the wonderful Miss Phyllis Joubert, Gregory Hopkins in Harlem, New York. I had the pleasure of working with the legendary Nile Rodgers on the semi-pro soundtrack. Wow, trying to pull all this stuff together. And I have my solo projects as Mel Sotry, but I'm also linked to the legendary rock and roll group, the Crystals, that was originally started by Phil Spector under the direction of one of the original members, Miss Dee Dee Kennebrew.
So wow.
I'm into a few things, but most
now,
of all, Miss Darlene Lewis, you pulled me into all this stuff, so you were definitely, what a lot of people don't know is Darlene Lewis was definitely one of my mentors, but she was also my first personal manager, and the great thing about her was not only was she my personal manager, but she taught me how to be a businesswoman in this industry called music. With working with the union, making sure that my trademarks and different things are in place, I applaud you for that, Ms. Darlene Lewis, CEO of Network Productions.
Yeah, because we, along with Stu Hassan Lewis, we were very serious about you getting your money when a lot of people didn't know how to get compensated that weren't signed to a record label. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because
was one thing. Let me tell you, one thing that that taught me at an early age was, although most artists they get caught up with their love for the music, and sometimes people, they take advantage of that because they know that you would actually do it for free if you could.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people that are in place like yourself that say, no, I know you love the music, but this is a business. That's why
mm-hmm.
they call it the music business. And what I've learned to do is say to people, let's talk business first, and we can have fun later.
Exactly. Now, you've traveled more than most people that signed to labels. How does that experience of traveling the world give you a different perspective on the type of music that you create?
Well, let me correct something first. I have been signed to different labels like Low Key Records.
True.
Doing commercial releases as well, but also owning my own record company as well as owning my masters so that I can do with them what I need to do. But having that experience of traveling around the world, the reason why that happens is because I'm just thankful that I am a stage singer. Although I love recording, I love performing on stage as well. I'm grateful for each opportunity.
But what do you enjoy most, traveling or recording recording live or recording in the studio? Because most people, don't even understand what it's like to tour.
That is true, and I think that's something that people that are on the road kind of take for granted. Some people never make it out of the studio, and luckily I was really blessed that I come from a musical family.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have to give a shout out to Brothers and Sisters Entertainment in New Jersey, where C-Rock and Riri Brown, they own the company, but I have a lot of family members who are live musicians. My mother was a singer. My father was a poet and a percussionist. So I always grew up around those type of things. And, you know, of course, the hip-hop era, you know, a lot of people in my family, they were into the rapping. I thought I was going to be a rapper, but then they found out I sang better than I rapped. You know what I mean? So, but the thing is, I love all platforms of, I love it all. I mean, but that's interesting that you say that. So, there are some musicians that never make it out of the studio, but I love being in the studio and I love touring. I mean, there is definitely an art to recording, listening, having a great vocal producer, thinking of Nile Rodgers or thinking of C-Rock of Brothers and Sisters Entertainment. I also worked with Dave Joubert of the Joubert Pair. I mean, there's so many great things. People get caught up with just music producers, but there's some fabulous vocal producers as well. But I love it. You know what? I can't. That's a hard one for me. I can't choose because I am a studio rat. I could be in the studio 12 hours or more just trying to get it right, or I live for being on stage as well. I love it all.
Now, you've also done, I believe, some plays.
Yes.
I know you starred in Melissa Rella, and then you did some on.
Yes. Yes, that was a play that was written for me, Melissa Rella, by Darlene R. Lewis.
Nobody uses my middle initial.
I'm sorry. You did some
Motown Reviews projects, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yes, I did. Now it's been over 10 years, but I used to work with Dr. K's Motown Review in Long Island under Mr. Paul Corman. It was just a wonderful experience because I was able to – it's funny because I had a chance to do some Motown work, but working with the Crystals, a lot of those acts that were from the Motown era, I had a chance to meet them. So it's like the best of both worlds. And I'm always grateful. I'm just so grateful for every opportunity I get to perform or I get to record. And I don't take anything for granted. I'm really grateful to God for all of those things because even though I'm not like a major commercial artist, I've done more than most commercial artists.
I mean, let's see. You're on the soundtrack for New Jack City. You've been on a movie soundtrack with what's the guy's name from Saturday Night Live?
Oh, this is from I did the title track. I was on the title track for the semi-pro movie soundtrack with Will Ferrell. That was a recording that was produced by Nile Rodgers. And also Will Ferrell, also along with Khalik, who is a wonderful vocalist, and my cousin, actually, Will Ferrell is also on the track. So it was the best of everything. I got to work with my cousin Khalik, who is an amazing vocalist. Will Ferrell was on the track. He's singing on the track, so I'm the female voice on their title track. And, I mean, come on, it was produced by Uber producer Nile Rodgers, and it was one of the most amazing experiences I had because it showed the difference between the men and the boys because it was an easy session, but it was also just so much fun, so much fun.
Now, you also performed with Dr. Ice on a Full Force production. How was that experience?
That was awesome working with Full Force because Full Force, see, a lot of people don't know, They are known for, like, Lisa, Cheryl Pepsi Riley, NSYNC.
They had Nicki Minaj, you know.
They
had Nicki Minaj first.
They also produced all of the boy groups before they became famous. A lot of people don't know that.
No. Not only before they became famous, but they're still working with them. But I remember working with Dr. Ice and Full Force, and we were doing a recording called Dr. Love. And
which I've been trying to get them to release that song, because it's like an EDM right about now. Like, it sounds like what is being played right now in the clubs.
It's still amazing. But let me tell you, Full Force, I remember being in the studio with them, and they're jokesters. I won't say what they did to me, but they are major jokesters. Dr. Ice, a wonderful legend in the rap industry. You know, just a really, really good friend. Sometimes I'll see him on the road, and he'll just pop up on me in the airport, and I'm like, you better watch out. I'm still a Bronx girl. but it was just, you know what, I mean, I just have to go back to being really grateful that seeing these different things and having these opportunities to work with these great icons over the years. And now I just sit back and, you know, I get a lot of different calls to do different things. And I'm really grateful. I'm just grateful to have had the opportunity to do those things.
So now you also did some gospel work.
Yes, I toured with the Great Voices of Gospel throughout South America, and I also toured with the Glory Gospel Singers that was the Glory Gospel Singers that was headed by another one of my mentors, Ms. Phyllis Joubert. They're still touring now. I think they're still touring in like Japan at this time. But it was a great way for me to exercise my faith, but then at the same time use my gifts and talents while on the road throughout Europe, Germany, France, Switzerland. You know, it was really wonderful experiences, wonderful. And you know what, actually, doing this international work taught me that although everyone does not speak the same language or they have these different feelings about people, music is the great equalizer. Everybody speaks the same language in music.
That's right. Now, how does it feel working with the singers? Because they're the ones that did a do-do run. And what else did they do?
You're talking about the Phil Spector's Crystals. I've been touring with them for many years with the original member, Miss Dee Dee Kennebrew. With them, I've done a lot of worldwide travel throughout Europe and Asia, well, and throughout the States as well. It's been wonderful because not only does working with the crystals is already an amazing feat, but then while we're on tour, I get to see a lot of these great legends on the road. So I get to sit off stage and get schooled. You know what I mean? And on the road, I'm the kid. You know, hey kid, and I'm like, you can call me infant if you want. You know what I mean? Because it's amazing. I mean, I've toured with people like Tavares. Some of the original members of the Four Tops, some of the original members of the Temptations, the Tokens. I've toured with so many, Lou Christie, Freddie Cannon, just so many legends. And, you know, after knowing them for so many years, you don't realize the impact they've had on the industry because this is what I grew up around. And
exactly.
It's wonderful. I'm grateful because it's like going to school. Every time I go on the road, it's like I'm in class.
Now, speaking of school, you definitely prepared yourself academically for this music career. And you attended Harlem School of the Arts on scholarship.
Yes.
You went to City College. I mean, tell us about that experience, that educational background.
You know,
and what did you learn?
Well, the great thing about, of course, well, I have my my degree in music, vocal performance, and education. And the great thing about that is, yes, you work in some markets where you're just singing by ear, but then there are other markets where they want me to read the music, and it gives me fluidity. It makes me flexible that I can work on a classical level or a jazz, a gospel, you know, but I can understand the roadmap because I'm a trained musician. And sometimes what gets me, and I just definitely have to put this out here, a lot of times I'll hear people say, well, we'll have the singers and the musicians, you know, and I'm like, no, I am a musician. I am a studied musician. I have my degree in music. So you can classify me as a musician as well, you know. So, what it did was it just opened. I think being educated by the universities, it just teaches you another language to speak. Because there are musicians that are amazing that haven't gone to school, and they're amazing. You know, they're amazing. But what it does is it gives me a way to communicate with people in different ways. It doesn't make anyone better or worse, but it's just another language to be able to communicate musically.
And to be able to read music is really, really difficult.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, I was saying that to be able to read music, you know, I mean, that's a gift because you have to discipline yourself to remember the notes and to be able to play. And I mean, not only can you sing in English, but you can sing in various languages. And what are some of the languages you can sing in?
Oh, wow, you're calling me out. Okay. I sing in Italian, a little French, a little German, Xhosa, a South African dialect, a little Spanish. But with having, I guess, like that classical background, for some reason I can just hear the other languages and I can I can pick them up. I'm not as fluent as I'd like to be, but I can pick it up.
Now, being that you mentioned the South African thing, have you decided to jump on a bandwagon and do some Afrobeats music?
I would love to. Okay, make the connection, Darlene Lewis, Future Network Productions.
Okay, that's
not
a problem.
Let's put it together. You know, I'll work with you. Listen, I'll work with you any day because I know the contracts will be in place, so I am not concerned. And speaking of which, another thing that I learned from you, I made sure that the name Mel Sotry is a trademark entity, so I don't play around. And it's also an LLC. I learned that from this lady named Darlene Lewis.
Yeah, because people don't know. People don't know. We've been around a long time. Everything that they're doing now, we've already done. And,
you know,
and
what? I'm just
everything is coming around again.
I'll do a little bit of name dropping. Like, you know, when we were around with Kurt Woodley, you know, as he was about to pull out Mary J. Blige and, you know, these people, we've known them when we were teenagers. And
when
then
you
how
were
they
a teenager.
When I was a teenager. And now I see Kurt, I'm like, listen, I'm still a baby in your eyes.
Well, listen, we talked about you about 3 weeks ago because, you know, I'm helping him with his memoirs, and they're about to do, BET is going to do a Uptown Records project, and he mentioned, he said, you know, the only regret I have is that, you know, I never got a chance to work with Melissa because I thought she was too polished. And I said, wow. I said, well, you know, it's never too late. And then he said, Puffy found out that they're doing an Uptown Records movie because, you know, they did so well with New Edition. So he went and got Mary a deal. So now they're going to do the Mary J. Blige story on Amazon. So he wants to hurry up and do his book so it'll be ready when they do Uptown Records. So I'm like, okay, well, you know,
let me tell
whatever.
You, I learned a lot from Kurt Woodley over the years. I mean, you know, it was a point where I was trying to fit into this mold and fit into that
yeah.
mold. But in the end, you have to, like, stand up straight
you
and
have
stand
to be
on your
yourself.
Own.
You got to do your truth.
This is who I am, and I'm not
right.
going to try to be anything else but myself. And when you start
yeah.
doing that, people start respecting you more in the industry, and that's why I've been able to tour, record, and do all these different things, because they know when I come, I'm going to be there. I'm coming as a professional. I'm going to give my best. I don't care how big or small the project is. I'm always going to give my best, always.
Yeah. So before we leave, what do you feel about the way music and females are represented now in the industry?
Hmm.
In your honest
I
opinion.
Mean, well, it depends on which market you're looking at. You know what I mean? Like, it's all very cyclical in a sense that what you allow people to do, they will do. If they say, oh, you have to dress this certain way or you have to be this certain way and you agree with it, then you might as well commence the rolling of the wheel. But when, once
mm-hmm.
you start to stand up and say, no, I will not allow this kind of behavior. I will not allow you to speak to me this certain kind of way or to project me in this kind of way. You know, you have to get to that point where you no longer allow it, and then people will stop doing it.
Well,
so.
Melissa, Mel Soul Tree.
I can't remember the last time you told me you loved me.
Thank you for calling in and giving us your blessing, and we're going to end this with one of your songs called Tell Me. Tune in every Thursday or when to see which new artist or new innovative business is being promoted. I'm your host and show producer, Darlene Lewis. And once again, welcome to blogtalkradio.com/hearnoevil.
Thank you, Darlene Lewis.
Now I can't figure out what I should say or do. Used to buy me roses, yellow to be exact. Now I'm wondering if you're the same man. If you're not, bring him back. Yeah.